of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you.
Welcome to another broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Wherever you are at this point in life, we pray that God will use the following message as a source of help and encouragement as you listen. Stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast to learn how you can contact us for additional resources or to receive further spiritual help. And now, here's today's message.
If you have your Bibles, open them again, please, to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. We're continuing in our series entitled, To Live as Christ. Last week, we started to focus on this one verse, Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, where Paul said, For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We spent all of last Sunday just looking at the first half of that verse, where Paul said, For to me, to live is Christ. I wonder how you would complete that statement for yourself. For me to live is, what is it for you? What would others say of you? For her to live is, oh, I can tell you what it is for her. For him to live, oh yeah, I can see it very clearly. For us who call ourselves Christ followers, I want to tell you, church, there can be no other way for us to complete that statement than to say, for me to live is Christ. For us to live any other way is to live a compromised life. For us who call ourselves Christians, little Christs, for us to live any other way other than to say, for me to live is Christ, is to live a life that misses the mark of what God intended. If you weren't here last Sunday, I would encourage you to go back and listen to that message online. It is vitally important for all of us to have that reality emblazoned into our hearts, that we can all say with conviction, with certainty, without a moment's hesitation, for me to live is Christ. Is He your purpose for living? Is He the priority of your life? Is He the passion of your life? And for those who can truly say, for me to live is Christ, if we are able to make that statement the first half of our life's statement, for me to live is Christ, I've got some great news for you. It means that the second half of our life statement can be, to die is gain. I want to bring a message to you this morning on dying. How psyched are you about this? That you got out of bed on a cold, rainy morning, and you got dressed, and you drove all the way over here to hear a message about dying. It is amazing to me to consider the amount of time and thought and effort and money that people put into living, and how very little of any of that they put into dying. Someone has said, and rightly so, you're not ready to live until you're ready to die. Why is it, even for us as Christians, that the subject of death is such a depressing subject that we, even as believers, tend to avoid at all costs? We don't like to talk about death. We don't like to talk about dying. But as followers of Christ, I am here to tell you this morning that death will be our greatest victory. And we have nothing to fear, nothing to dread about death. It is not a subject we should avoid. It is something we should be able to talk about with boldness and with confidence. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." What an absurd statement that is to the world. The world will tell you there is far much more to live for than Christ. And the world sees a statement like "to die is gain" as completely crazy. The world does everything it can to avoid the thought of dying. I remember many years ago, there were a young couple who came on TV selling their vitamins and supplements, saying that if you took this, you could just go on living, have unlimited health. I believe both of them are now, you know, dead. The world does not want to think about death. Life is too much fun. Let's party it up, man, and let's not worry about that other thing down the road. People even have themselves frozen when they die because they don't want to think about death. Maybe there's a possibility that somewhere down the road we'll come up with some kind of advanced science and technology that will allow us to unthaw old Walt Disney and chip the ice off him and bring him back to life. Well, Walt, you got a long wait, my friend. Woody Allen, the actor and comedian, said, "I'm not afraid of death. I just don't want to be there when it happens." Or as he would say, I don't want to be there when it happens. That's mark that down as the worst Woody Allen impersonation you've ever seen. I don't know why I did that. I can't impersonate Woody Allen. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. How is it that the Bible can make such a statement? How is it, and is it possible, that death for the Christian is gain? Have you ever stopped to consider this last half of this little statement in Philippians 1:21 and what it really means for us? There are so many ways to teach through this verse and this particular statement. I want to share some thoughts with you quickly this morning on why I believe death is gain for the Christian. Number one, death is gain for Christians because we will go to a perfect place. This world is filled with all kinds of pain and loss and hurt and sorrow and tragedy. I grow so weary of turning on the news and just hearing story after story of heartache and tragedy and murder and rape, and on it goes. We live in a world that is horribly broken by sin. But death will be gain for Christians because we are going to a perfect place. In heaven, there will be no funeral homes. There will be no abortion clinics. There will be no psychiatric wards. There will be no hospitals. There will be no divorce courts. There will be no bankruptcy courts. There will be no suicide. There will be no cancer. There will be no rape. There will be no injustice. There will be no hurtful words. There will be no depression. There will be no financial worries. There will be no physical pain. There will be no emptiness. There will be no separation. There will be no suffering. There will be no loss. There will be no problems. It is a perfect place. Secondly, death will be gain for the Christian because we will have perfect bodies. I know right now you look at me and you think you're seeing a perfect body. But I want to tell you, come on, it's a rainy morning. I'm trying to get you to wake up a little bit. I know many of you have thought that. It's not so, though. Folks, listen, in heaven, we will know what it means for the first time in our lives to have perfect bodies. In this world, do I have to tell you, our fallen bodies are aging, they're deteriorating, they're dying, they're falling apart. In heaven, we will have a new body. There will be no sickness. There will be no disease. There will be no pain. Philippians 3:21, Paul says this later in this book, Jesus will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. I'm going to tell you, heaven is going to be great gain for us. Number three, dying is gain for the Christian because not only will we have a perfect body, we will have a perfect spirit. Our sin nature will finally be eradicated. That inward pull towards sin will finally be removed. Somebody say amen to that. That struggle that we have, that fight that we live with every day of our lives, the flesh fighting against the spirit fighting against the flesh, that battle that we undergo for sin, the call to sin that we have with us constantly, every moment of our life, will finally be gone. And our flesh will be thrown off, and we will worship the Lord for the first time ever without sin. Can you imagine what that will be like? We're just now in this life getting a tiny taste of what it means to worship God, because we're trying to worship Him from these broken, sinful bodies in which we live. Then, when we're there, we will be fully free to worship Christ without any hindrance whatsoever. I'm looking forward to that day. Number four, dying will be gain for the Christian because we will receive a perfect reward. In this world, there are relatively few rewards for those who live for Christ. It seems that the ungodly prosper and the righteous are punished. And this has been a cry of men and women throughout the Scriptures. The rewards that we gain in this life are temporary. They will slip through our hands. The things that we hold up, the things that we put on our mantle, the things that we carry around in our minds as being such wonderful rewards, such great gains in this life, all of those things will one day slip through our hands, and they will be worthless. But in heaven, the righteous will receive their eternal reward. 1 Peter 1:4 tells us that we will have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. It is kept in heaven for you. The Bible says that we will receive the crown of life that the Lord will give to those who love Him. For us to die, Christians, will be our greatest gain ever. Number five. I've only got 38 of these, so hang on. Dying will be gain for the Christian because we will enjoy perfect fellowship. In this world, we struggle with broken relationships and conflicts, with divisions. We struggle truly getting to know another person because all of us, to some degree, have masks that we wear. We're afraid to let other people see the real us sometimes because the past has taught us that if we do that, that person will not really want to be with us. And so we live in a world of relationships, but they're skewed relationships. We never really, truly know people and have true unbroken fellowship with them. But in heaven, there will be no misunderstandings. There will be no hurt feelings. There will be no conflicts. There will be no severed relationships. We will have perfect, unbroken fellowship with our Savior and with those we love. In heaven, we'll be reunited with our loved ones who've gone on ahead of us. And I'll tell you, I'm looking forward to that day, as I know many of you are. On earth, we suffer the loss of relationships when people die. But in heaven, there will be no more dying. There will be no more separation. There will be no more broken friendships, no more severed relationships. We will enjoy perfect fellowship forever. What a thought. Number six, dying will be gain to the Christian because we will have perfect vision. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, "For now we see only a dim reflection as in a dark mirror, but then we shall see face to face." Our eyes are going to be opened in heaven for the first time, and we'll be able to see clearly. Now, I know from a physical standpoint, I'm looking forward to that. But from a spiritual standpoint, just think about this. The Bible tells us that right now, you and I, as we're going through life, as we're trying to understand God and His Word and the Christian life, even on our best day, when we think we've really got this thing figured out, the Bible says we're really just kind of looking through a dirty window. We're not really getting a clear picture of it all. See, back in these days, the mirror that we know today had not been invented yet. And so the mirrors that they used were polished stone or polished copper or brass. And it was never a perfect reflection. This is what Paul writes there in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, you know, right now, the way we see all of this is kind of like looking at a bad reflection. We can't really see the picture as it is. But dying will be gain to the Christian because when we die, that veil will be lifted and we will all have perfect vision. And upon our arrival there, our greatest joy will be to behold Jesus with that perfect vision. Our greatest reward in heaven will not be to see our reward. It will not be to see the heavenly city or the streets of gold or the gates of pearl or even to see Abraham or David or Paul, as wonderful as those things will be. Our greatest joy will be at last with our own eyes to see our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who loved us and gave Himself for us. We will see Him in all His glory, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, seated upon His throne, high and lifted up, crowned in majesty and glory and splendor. We will see Him. In that moment, faith will give way to sight, and we will behold Him just as He is. And the prayer that Jesus prayed a long time ago in John 17 will finally come true for us when He said in John 17, 24, "I want those You have given Me to be with Me where I am and to see My glory, the glory You have given Me because You loved Me before the foundation of the world." You and I will behold Jesus in His radiant splendor, and in that moment we will be electrified with joy. We will be enraptured with bliss. And I'm telling you, the greatest joys we have ever experienced in this lifetime will fade into oblivion. They will pale in comparison to the joy of seeing our Lord and Savior. If only we truly would understand this truth and live in its reality. Oh, we're Christians. We believe in heaven, yes. We believe that Jesus died on the cross so we wouldn't have to go to hell, and one day we'll go to heaven. But what I would love to be able to inject into every one of you this morning is the reality of what this means. And not just for something down the road, but for the reality of this to affect and influence and alter the way we live now. The reality of heaven. I truly believe if God would grant to us a tiny glimpse of how much gain dying it will be for us one day, I believe it would change the way we live our lives. R.G. Lee, one of the great evangelists of his time, lived his life for Jesus. He loved Jesus. He preached so beautifully and powerfully about his Savior and about heaven. And he was known for painting these incredible word pictures about heaven. And yet, even someone who lived a life like that, when he was getting ready to step over into eternity, he suddenly realized how much bigger and grander and more beautiful it was than even he could ever have imagined. His family recorded his dying words as he was lying in his bed. They said his eyes lit up and he stared past the family off into the distance. And he said these words, "I see heaven. Oh!" Then they said, he paused for a long time and he said, "I didn't do it justice." And he said, "I see Jesus." And his last words were, "I didn't do him justice." Friends, oh, we're so caught up seeing the things of this world, if we could just for a moment look past them and get a glimpse of the gain that heaven will be for those of us who know Christ, it would change our lives forever. Here's a man who lived his entire adult life telling others about the beauties of heaven, and in his dying moment, as his spirit was leaving his body and he caught a glimpse of heaven, he was overwhelmed by the beauty and the wonder and the majesty and splendor of it all. The Bible says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived the things that God has prepared for those who love Him." Death for the Christian will be our greatest gain of all. That's why Paul said a few verses later, "I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far." Do we really believe that? Or does this world have its claws sunk so deeply into us that we just can't even conceive of what Paul is talking about? Are we so tied to this world that we can't break loose to even be able to comprehend saying the sentence, "To die is going to be so much better"? Oh, Paul's not saying, "I hate this life. I wish I wasn't here. I want to die right now." No, he's making a comparison. He even says here, "I know that to stay here in the body is more profitable for you." But he said, "Man, I know to die is going to be better by far." But Paul was only able to say what he said in Philippians 1:21. "To die is gain," because he was able to say without hesitation first that to live is Christ. No one will ever experience death as a gain unless the first part of that sentence is true. To live is Christ. If you live for anything else other than Christ, death will not be gain for you at all. If you're living for pleasure, death will bring eternal torment. If you're living for possessions, death will bring total loss. If you're living for comfort, death will bring eternal misery. For those who die without Christ, death will not be gain. In fact, it'll be the greatest and most tragic loss of their entire existence. I've been fascinated since I was a boy by the last words of people. I've shared some of these things along the way in our journey here together. I don't know why, even as a boy, It always struck me that the last words people say are very revealing about their life. We've studied some of the last words of Jesus and how important they are to us. We've looked at some of the last words of Paul in the letter that he wrote to Timothy and how important they are. One of the things that I've sort of gathered over the years, which in many cases has made my blood run cold, are the dying words of people who have lived a life without Christ. Thomas Paine, the well-known atheist, on his deathbed cried out, "Oh, help me! Stay with me, for I am on the edge of hell here alone." Sir Thomas Scott said, "Until this moment I thought there was neither a God nor a hell. Now I know and feel that there are both, and I am doomed to perdition by the just judgment of the Almighty." And he died. Anton LaVey, author of the Satanic Bible and leader of the Church of Satan, when he died, said, "Oh my, what have I done? There is something very wrong. There is something very wrong." Francis Newport, a devout infidel, said, "Oh, eternity, eternity, oh, the insufferable pangs of hell, oh, eternity, forever and ever." Voltaire, the famous French playwright, said in his dying breath, "I am abandoned by God and man. I shall go to hell. Oh, Christ, oh, Jesus." Those in his house said his condition was so terrifying that everyone was afraid to approach his bedside. His nurse said, quote, "For all the money in Europe, I wouldn't want to see another unbeliever die," end quote. And on and on and on you can go. My friends, for those who cannot say to live is Christ, death will not be gained for them at all. It will be tragic loss. But the last words of Christians are very different. I've studied that too. What a beautiful, beautiful picture it is. I close with these. John Lyth said, "Can this be death? Why, it is better than living. Tell them I die happy in Jesus." John Pawson, a pastor, said, "I know I am dying, but my deathbed is a bed of roses. I have no thorns planted upon my dying pillow. Heaven has already begun." Margaret Pryor, her family standing in her room, said that her eyes lit up like a child on Christmas morning. And she said, "How bright the room! How full of angels!" And she died. Sir David Brewster, a scientist, actually invented the kaleidoscope, well-known Christian, follower of Christ. He died by saying, "I will see Jesus. Oh, how bright it is. I feel so safe and satisfied." My favorite of all, my favorite dying words are by D.L. Moody, the great evangelist. Please hear this. Before he died, he said these words, "Earth recedes, heaven opens before me. If this is death, it is sweet. There is no valley here. God is calling me, and I must go. This is my triumph. This is my coronation day. It is glorious." For those in Christ, our death day will be our best day. There's nothing to fear. As Peter Marshall once said, as a little boy, he remembers on Saturday evenings, his parents would invite friends over, and all the adults would sit in the living room talking, and he would sit there on the couch listening, and inevitably he would fall asleep on the couch. He said the next thing he remembers is waking up upstairs in his bed. He doesn't remember anything in between. But somewhere along the way, when the guests would leave, his father would come and gently, carefully scoop him up in his arms, carry him upstairs, and put him lovingly in his bed. Peter Marshall says, "This is death for the Christian. We fall asleep in this earth, and we wake up in the presence of Jesus. For those in Christ, the day we die will be the greatest day of our life." D.L. Moody said years before his death, "One day you will read in the papers that I am dead. Don't believe a word of it." He said, "For the moment you read those words, I will be more alive than I have ever been before." Think of the stress and the worry and the fear that you could save yourself if you truly believed what we're talking about this morning. Just think of the weight that you could shed. I mean, we live in a world with constant bad news, don't we? And it's just getting worse and worse and worse. And even for us as Christians, we can find ourselves living under this weight of, what if something happens to me? What if something happens to my family? What if America collapses? What if I die? Think of the trouble you could save yourself if you just made this part of your DNA and you said, like Paul, if I live, great. If I die, even better. Because death is the doorway that takes me in to see my Savior. There should be no fear for us. 1 Corinthians 15:55 says, "O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory?" Dying for those in Christ is truly our greatest gain. But it begins with the first part of that statement. May I ask you this morning, what are you living for? Because whatever you fill in that blank, "for me to live is..." Whatever is in that blank will not only determine how you live, my friends, it will determine how you die. I have never in my life stood by the bedside of a dying Christian who regretted living for Christ. Not one. One of the greatest memories I have of someone going home to be with the Lord is dear Jim Bass. Faye, I tell you, Jim was a great friend to me. I remember the conversations we used to have. I used to love meeting with Jim. I remember one day at Cracker Barrel, I met him for lunch, and we must have talked for 2 hours about Jesus. I just couldn't shut him up. And those blue eyes of his would just dance when he talked about the Lord. And when Jim was dying, I say this with the greatest love and respect, it was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. He couldn't talk. He could no longer speak. But he would point to his heart and he would point to heaven with a smile on his face, with confidence, with boldness, knowing, "Oh man, I hate to leave my family. I know they're going to grieve. But man, I'm going to see Jesus." If we can say, "For me, to live is Christ," then church, we can say with just as much confidence, "For me, to die is gain." Are you looking forward to that day? Oh, don't dread it. Don't dread your death day. There's nothing to fear. For those in Christ, it will be our greatest day ever. I hope that you can say that and mean it. Let's pray.
You've been listening to a broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If this ministry has touched your life in some way, we would love to hear from you. Just visit our website at www.lifepointsc.org for more information. Or, if you prefer to reach us by letter, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see.